I hope you'll forgive me for not wearing my robes. It's too hot. I've got a bit of job first. Morning. Thank you. I've got some banns to read. I publish the banns of marriage between Joseph David Mayer, single of this parish, and Zoe Elizabeth Roll, single of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare it. You have the notices in front of you as well, anyway, but just to highlight one or two things. The situation regarding COVID, we're no longer required to wear a mask, well, we know all about that, but we can if we want to. Tiger Club is back. We need people for the rotas, particularly sidesmen and welcomers, church cleaners, Sunday coffee and Tuesday coffee. So if anybody feels called to do one of these things, please let me know or Gail know. The One Can Food Trust, collection boxes in the sanctuary, the North Porch of Holy Trinity and 11 Kings Ride. And for prayers, Stephen Debbie Taylor, as before, Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law Amanda, Derek and Elaine's grandson Caden, as he begins his long period of treatment. But he's doing very well, I believe. I'm going to say a prayer at the beginning about our interregnum. It's the most important thing that the church does in its 10 years, whatever it is. It's been 20 years, hasn't it, since our last one. And it's very important we get the person that's called to come. The PCCs have been meeting regularly and they've been discussing how we do this. What will happen is that two people from each PCC will be called, or not elected, no, will be, what's the word? Delegated? Yeah, delegated will do, to be on the appointment committee. So from each of our churches, two people will be on that committee who will do the interviewing. I'm making the recommendation to the bishop. So it's a very important job. And of course, the PCCs take that on, but we pray for them. The thing we can do as a congregation is to pray regularly for the right person to be chosen and the right way we do it. And for praying for those people who will make decisions. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous, because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You'll find that prayer on your notices when you take them home. Pray them each night, each morning, if necessary as well. Keep praying. So we take our service sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, first hymn, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. 79. Come to our confession. Please be seated. before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God be with you, Christ be with you, and the Spirit enable you to dwell in your mouth. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness, to the ways we will have passed, the lives of us, and the life of the world.
May God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. When I go to the old people's home, we do this prayer, very similar. We say we come to confession, and at the end, we are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We are forgiven. And we actually say that a little prayer saying, we dance for joy because we're forgiven. So the collect. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus, you brought salvation to our wayward world. Draw us into harmony with your will, that we may find all things restored in him, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now we have some readings from the Bible. Deborah and Ruth.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. 519. Take my life and let it be.
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Sometimes we have to wonder if anyone could please Jesus. Jesus didn't give many attaboys or attagirls. He didn't often say thanks. He didn't often tell people that they'd done well. He didn't seem particularly concerned that he might bruise someone's self-esteem. Sometimes Jesus seemed to be downright rude. That happens in our gospel lesson today. Jesus came to the home of his dear friend Martha and Mary. He had visited their home before, perhaps many times. On one occasion, he raised their brother Lazarus from the dead. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is making his last visit to the home of Martha and Mary. Luke has been telling us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will die. Martha and Mary live in Bethany, which is near Jerusalem. With Jerusalem just round the corner, Jesus doesn't have long to live, and he knows it. He's been telling the disciples that he will die, but they don't understand him. Luke says, they were afraid to ask him about this saying. On this occasion, Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. It's odd that Luke doesn't mention Lazarus, Martha's brother. But Luke tells us that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Then Luke tells us that Martha had a sister, Mary. Presumably it was Mary's home too, but Martha was clearly in charge. Martha was distracted by many tasks. We know how that feels, don't we? Company. Company coming. Floors to sweep. Windows to wash. Towels to hang. Food to cook. Once Jesus arrived, Martha was busy, busy, busy. Then Martha looked over her shoulder. And what did she see? She saw Mary, her sister, sitting on the floor listening to Jesus. Never a shrinking violet, Martha complained to Jesus. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" Suddenly, it was Jesus' fault that Martha was busy and distracted. "Lord, do you not care? Lord, can you not see? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Ask her to help me." But Jesus said, and this is the point that seems almost rude, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." Can't you hear the exasperation in his voice? "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled by many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. If I'd been Martha, that would have been it. I'd have turned off the stove, shut down the kitchen. All right, Jesus, if you want to listen, me to listen, I will listen. Where would you like me to sit, Jesus? Worried? You were right, I was worried, distracted. Right again, I was distracted by many things. But I promised Jesus that I'm not worried or distracted now. I'm sitting and listening, perfectly relaxed. And of course, I would wait to hear the sounds of stomachs rumbling. Are you folks hungry? Well, I'm so sorry. I don't think there's anything to eat in this house. I would think, serves you right. Next time, Jesus, keep your sharp tongue in its holster. A little hunger will teach the teacher. It's ironical that Jesus had dealt with a food shortage not many days earlier. He told the disciples to feed a crowd of 5,000 people. The disciples said, "What do you mean? Give us something to eat. There are thousands of people here. Don't you know how much food we have? We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's it." But Jesus had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and had fed the whole crowd. There was even food left over. Perhaps if Martha had decided to sit and listen, no one would have gone hungry. Jesus would have provided. It's also worth noting that just prior to the story of Martha and Mary, Jesus had told the parable of the Good Samaritan. In that story, the hero was a person just like Martha, a doer, a person who got the job done, who expressed his caring in tangible actions. A busy man who expressed his caring in who got his hands dirty in the service of others. Jesus made this busy man the hero of the parable. So Jesus wasn't against active, busy, serving people. So why didn't Jesus encourage Martha in her service? In her busyness, he too was taking care of people. Why not make Martha the hero of the story? Note that the Good Samaritan has provided what the wounded victim needed. He bandaged the victim's wounds, took him to the nearest town, provided money for his care. The wounded man didn't need someone to sit and listen. He needed medical care. The Samaritan provided that care. But Jesus' situation was different. His time was growing short. He was heading for his cross. Soon he would enter Jerusalem, where he would die. He'd come for a last visit with Martha and Mary, old and beloved friends. He didn't need a fancy last meal. He needed time with his friends. Furthermore, Martha and Mary needed time with Jesus. In the future, they would look back on this last visit as one of the truly special moments of their lives. Jesus, a man whom everybody wanted to see, had come to their home. He had honored them with his presence. What a special moment. What a tragedy if Martha were to miss it by working in the kitchen. But what about you and me? What do we get from all of this? We, like Martha, are busy, worried, distracted by many things. We're trying to balance claims on our lives by family, friends, church, and work. We cannot do it all, but we try. Like Martha, we grow resentful because other people are not pulling their share of the load. We're critical of our husband, perhaps, because he doesn't help around the house. Or our wife, because she's always naggy about money. We're critical of our co-workers who don't share our dedication to the job. We're critical of our children who don't keep their rooms neat or clean. Is this a happy way of life? Of course not. Is there a way out? Yes, there is. We need to spend a little time at Jesus' feet. We need to spend a little time reading the scriptures, a little time in prayer, a little time getting centered, a little time taking away from our everyday business, a little time letting the Lord have his way in our lives, a little time letting the Lord set the direction for our day. A little time at Jesus' feet. This is what Jesus called the better part. He said that Mary had chosen the better part. Perhaps if we will choose the better part, Jesus will fill us with his presence. He will help us sort out our tangles. He will help us to do important things and to accept the fact that we can't do everything. He will help us to avoid becoming resentful, nagging persons. A little time with Jesus is to the human being is what oil is to the automobile. With it, everything runs more smoothly. Two questions. First question, can we afford to spend a little time with Jesus each day? The answer, of course, is no. We cannot afford the time. We're too busy. There are too many claims on our lives. Sounds a great idea, but it just isn't practical, we say. Second question, can we afford not to spend a little time with Jesus each day? Can we afford to continue in our worry and distraction? Can we afford to spend our days going this way and that with no guiding light to set our direction? Can we afford to go through life with our deepest needs unmet, with a hollow place in the center of our lives? Can we afford to be like Martha? Too busy, too worried, too distracted to find much pleasure in life. So let's try an experiment. Set the alarm 15 minutes early. Get up, turn on the coffee pot, and sit down with our Bible for a few minutes. Read one story from the Gospels, just one. Then spend a couple of minutes reflecting on that story. Then spend a few minutes in prayer. Ask Jesus to help us that day. Ask Jesus to help our heart, to get our heart in the right place. Pray for our family. Pray for our neighbours. Pray for our enemies. Then say amen and go about our business. 15 minutes at Jesus' feet, perhaps, will change our day. 15 minutes at Jesus' feet, perhaps, will change our lives. Amen. Now we've got the next hymn. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. And we will enjoy this. 418. Yes. Oh. Do sit down. Catherine was down for the prayers today, but she can't make it today. So she sent me her prayers, which I'm going to read. These are Catherine's prayers. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, be with all those suffering because of war, all those divided peoples, all those separated from loved ones, families, and friends. We pray for the Ukrainian families who have lost their homes and their lifestyles, either through leaving their towns and villages or by Russian bombing. Give them hope for the future, Lord, and comfort them in their distress. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those involved in Lighthouse the week after next, be it in a large or small way. And we pray especially for the Lighthouse leaders. Give them continued energy and enthusiasm throughout the week. We ask that children who attend will learn something more of your love and take it back to their homes and families. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for our community, and we pray that we may continue to share and help each other. We give you thanks for all those who have been a strength and a support in our lives, and for all those who have transformed our lives by their care and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Give strength to all those who are watching by beds of sickness, all who are caring for loved ones, and comfort all those who have recently lost loved ones. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for those whose road to recovery is not so easy or straightforward. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, that all we know who are suffering in pain, in a period of silent prayer. And we bring them now to you, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all that we love. As the holiday time approaches, let us savor and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends. Let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives. Let your love surround us all. And so, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let us stand for the Creed. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in earth and on earth is made. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now our final hymn. Now thank we all our God, 405. Now thank we all our God. Face each other across the aisle. We say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. So, God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit enable us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.